Love. Henry VIII to Anne Boleyn, May 1528. This is one of the love letters that changed history. Henry was the second son of Henry VII, who had seized the throne for his newfangled Tudor dynasty in 1485. Only the death of his elder brother, Prince Arthur, brought Henry VIII to the throne in 1509. Arthur left a young widow, Catherine of Aragon, daughter of the Spanish monarchs. On his accession, Henry suddenly decided to marry Catherine. Now, almost 20 years into their marriage, the king desperately needed a male heir. So far, only a daughter, Mary, had survived. After an affair with a young courtier named Mary Boleyn, he started to notice her sister, Anne, a lady-in-waiting to the queen. By 1528, Henry is in love with Anne Boleyn, 11 years younger than him. Although it is unlikely that their love affair has yet been consummated, he is already utterly enraptured by her. She is resisting his attempts at seduction. Her mix of chastity, sophistication, her ambition to marry the king, not to be seduced like her sister, and her cool, haughty allure intensify Henry's fervour. Her personality makes him doubt her love. I hope on yours also. But later he would bitterly resent her wiles and take a terrible revenge. Henry's love dovetailed with his conviction that his entire marriage to Catherine was incestuous and that divine displeasure was the cause of his lack of sons. He therefore ordered his ministers to secure an annulment from the Pope. But the Catholic Church would deny Henry's wishes in his great matter, which would lead to England's decisive break with Rome and the establishment of the Church of England. And in turn, this allowed him to marry Anne in 1532. When Anne produced a daughter, the future Elizabeth I, but no sons, Henry turned on her. She was executed in 1536.
My mistress and friend, I and my heart put ourselves in your hands, begging you to have them suitors for your good favour, and that your affection for them should not grow less through absence. For it would be a great pity to increase their sorrow, since absence does it sufficiently. And more than ever I could have thought possible, reminding us of a point in astronomy, which is that the longer the days are, the farther off is the sun, and yet the more fierce. So it is with our love, for by absence we are parted, yet nevertheless it keeps its fervour, at least on my side, and I hope on yours also, assuring you that on my side the ennui of absence is already too much for me. And when I think of the increase of what I must needs suffer, it would be well nigh unbearable for me were it not for the firm hope I have, and as I cannot be with you in person, I am sending you the nearest possible thing to that, namely my picture set in a bracelet, with the whole device which you already know. Wishing myself in their place when it shall please you, this by the hand of your loyal servant and friend, H. Rex.
Frida Kahlo to Diego Rivera, undated. Frida Kahlo's love letters to her husband, the painter Diego Rivera, are filled with the bold colours and wild passions of her art and her life. Born of a German father and a Mexican mother in 1907, she was almost crippled by polio and was then terribly injured in a near-fatal bus accident in 1927. An iron rod had penetrated her uterus. She spent 3 months in a full body cast and endured 30 operations and a lifetime of pain. While recovering, she started to paint and encountered Diego, already famous. Both were leftists and they met through the Communist Party. Diego became her artistic mentor. Rivera had lived in Paris, travelled in Italy, and evolved his own style of murals, bold in colour, his figures almost Aztec in their simplicity, all telling the history of Mexico and its revolution. Diego and Frida became lovers. He was 42, she 20. Kahlo and Rivera married in 1929, but the marriage was tempestuous. He was foul-tempered and an enthusiastic womaniser, and she had affairs with men, including the Russian revolutionary leader in exile, Leon Trotsky, as well as with women such as the French-American singer and dancer Josephine Baker. Neither her health problems nor the conservative Catholicism of much of Mexican society prevented her developing her artistic vision, her elaborate, colourful costumes showing her mixed-race heritage, her liberated love life. Carlo's dramatic artistic style, a flamboyant mix of fantastical and realistic, magical and folk, was inspired by both Mexico itself and her own extraordinary life. All of this is revealed in her letters to Rivera, in which physical love and emotional turbulence are often expressed in the colours of a painter. The silent life-giver of worlds, what is most important is the non-illusion. Morning breaks, the friendly reds, the big blues, hands full of leaves, noisy birds, fingers in the hair, pigeons' nests, a rare understanding of human struggle, simplicity of the senseless song, the folly of the wind in my heart, don't let them rhyme, girl, sweet chocolatl, chocolate of ancient Mexico, storm in the blood that comes in through the mouth, convulsion, omen, laughter, and sheer teeth needles of pearl. For some gift on a 7th of July, I ask for it, I get it. I sing, sang, I'll sing from now on, our magic. Lo. She describes their love in terms of Mexican landscape and even fruit. It was the thirst of many years restrained in your body. There was all manner of fruits in the juice of your lips, the blood of pomegranate, the horizon of the mami and the purified pineapple. I pressed you against my breast, and the prodigy of your form penetrated my book through the tips of my fingers. Smell of oak essence, memories of walnut, green breath of ash tree, horizon and landscape, I trace them with a kiss. I penetrate the sex of the whole earth. Her heat chars me, and my entire body is rubbed by the freshness of the tender leaves. They divorced in 1939. For a long time, she was known mainly as Diego's wife, but now the paintings of Frida and the huge, exuberant murals of her husband form the national art of Mexico. As for their volcanic relationship, she put it best. Only one mountain can know the core of another mountain.